everybody. Welcome to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Great show for you tonight. We're going to be talking about lacrosse. That's what's going to be on the show here this evening. I'm in here with Fred Smith. And Fred, I got to tell you, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah, you talking about our lacrosse?
I'm talking about Spencer.
Spencer, he's been a stud athlete for us and now has done a great job filling the shoes of his mentor and one of our great men at Siena, Ed Maloney, who passed away a year or so ago. And they're having an exciting season. When they're on the road, I'm stuck on the computer checking them out like last Saturday. What a game it had to be.
So we got Coach Bosick here. You're on the line. Hi, Coach. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys? It's appreciate the kind words. It's always good to be on.
Well, you had a heck of a – well, you know, you number one, you've just played a Tom Izzo-like schedule this year, to put it mildly, and it has helped your team because you're in a lot of close games, and you went into Saturday's game. It was probably the – best game in the NAIA last Saturday when you played at Indiana Tech. Are they undefeated or do they have one loss? I'm trying. When I looked at the ratings, I thought I saw they have one total loss.
So that's kind of in flux, but they're technically undefeated. They did lose the first game of the year to St. Ambrose, but yeah. St. Ambrose apparently played an ineligible player.
Oh, boy.
So they were forced to forfeit that game. So technically, Indiana Tech is undefeated.
And they were rated because I think Ambrose and them were 1-2 in the country in the last rating I saw. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's, in theory, that would be flipped. However, we haven't had a rate. We haven't had a ranking come out.
Yeah.
In theory, you would think Indiana Tech would technically be number one.
Well, you know, I know we haven't had you on. I don't think since you've started your season, but. If you have a second, kind of take us through your journey thus far.
Yeah, it's been quite a process. We got my juniors are essentially freshmen, and what I mean by that is they've only played, coming into this season, they had only played 7 collegiate lacrosse games, whereas a normal season you'd be playing anywhere from 14 to 20 lacrosse games. So my junior class is essentially freshmen, so we had a lot and still have a lot of learning to do just in terms of game management and maturity and understanding different situations. And, I think it showed against Indiana Tech, and hopefully it's something we can learn from. But this season's really been about these guys finally getting the opportunity to prove themselves that they've been waiting for 2 years. And, really learning how to win games. Obviously, we're talented, but it takes more than that when you're playing at the highest level. So that's really what this year's been, is figuring out how to win and figuring out how to put it all together and play 60 whole minutes.
So you started the year, Coach, if I can recollect here, I think you played Weber. Was it Weber or Warner down in Indiana?
Weber.
Right, and they were a team that you said, I remember as you were kind of talking about the schedule on the last show, that they were a team that had a lot of talent, but you weren't really sure. So how was, I know you lost that game, and or that match, but how has Weber done since then?
Weber's still up there in the top 10. They've, they've played an incredible schedule and played a lot of tough games, and they've gone through the ringer. They're right there on the, borderline of the AAC, and the AAC tournament should be interesting and pretty telling going into, the national tournament. But they're still a team that's up there in contention, and they've won a lot of big games this year. They've lost a couple big games this year, so it'll be interesting to see, how they finish out.
Well, then you, I remember I was trying, I was just telling Coach, or telling Coach, he is my coach, Coach Kane here, that the day you played Adrian was the day, we had the memorial service for Coach Riley at Adrian. So I was there, And I tried. It was such an exciting game, but it was so cold. Like I was trying to sneak into a press box, but it was, you know. And I, you know, we lost. It went overtime, and they've won five in a row. And then you went down and played number 7 Benedictine, and beat them pretty soundly. And then your second match was, I don't know, was it canceled because of weather or when you
correct? Played, right? Yeah, it was below the wind chill.
Right. Yeah, I forgot. That. Right. And then you played at Hope another power, and you lost by 2. And then you started in the conference and started with a bang with Cleary, and then beat Lourdes by 1 goal. So and then beat Taylor and Lawrence Tech, and you had quite a run going to Indiana Tech. So tell us how your team has come on and where they've come on and what you're most pleased with.
Yeah, I think we're finally starting to see some leaders emerge and see some that competitive spirit come back into them. I think, it took a little longer than I would have hoped for them to rekindle that flame, if you will, of that competitive spirit. But they're really coming together and starting to figure out their roles. And to me, that's one of the most important things a team can find is figure out your role and give 100% to that role. And, you know, if somebody needs to step up and fill the shoes of another role, then we can kind of get to that point. But in terms of getting to the performing stage of a team, everybody needs to figure out what their role is. They need to play their role. They need to give 100% of their role. And you can't focus on anything outside of your role. And the guys are really starting to, fall into their places and respect one another in their places and understand what each other are doing. And it's really cool to see. And, you know, we obviously have a lot to continue on, but to see these guys embracing their roles and not pointing fingers and saying, oh, well, I should be doing this or I should be doing that, and coming together as a team, a true unit, I think that's what's going to carry us, hopefully, really far into this season.
You know, as looking and following your team, last week I went over to watch you play Lawrence Tech, but I think you played the early game, and I got there after you were done and the women were playing after work. But if you really look at since that first game, your defense has really solidified in that, you know, you're giving up probably, 8-9 goals a match, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head. It might even be a little less than that. I'm sure it's pretty close to about 8 or 9. We have this rule we used to have when we were playing under Maloney, and we kind of continue it, obviously, and it's the 10-8 rule. We want to try and score more than 10, and we want to try and hold them to less than 8.
Gotcha.
And obviously, if we can do that, we're going to win games. So it seems to work when we can accomplish it.
Right, and ironically, the 10-8 rule kind of in reverse.
It was flip-flopped, exactly. They did the 10-8 rule to us this past weekend.
Well, and, you know, the traditional games or matches, I guess, they're referred to that have been just unbelievable matches over the years. I know I'm going to miss some. Has been certainly Siena Heights and Indiana Tech, Siena Heights and Lourdes, Siena Heights and Aquinas, Siena Heights and Lawrence Tech. You know, you could go on and on. Now Madonna's in the fray. And,
yeah.
But, you know, and I was trying to figure this out, and you got to tell me. I'm thinking if you win 3 out of your last 4, you should be second in our conference, which should put you in contention for a bid to the National Invitational, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I really think we have to win 4 out of our next 4.
You do.
It's Aquinas is a really good team. I mean, the rest of the schedule, it's the whack. I mean,
right.
I can't say it enough. It doesn't matter who you're playing. If you don't show up, you're going to have some problems. But I think no matter if we win 4 out of our next 4, we'll end up the second seed. We'll get
right.
a first round bye in the WAC tournament, and if we can get to that conference final, we should be looking pretty for the national tournament.
So, so how about it's a what is a 6 or 8 team conference tournament?
6 teams for the.
You want that 1 and 2?
The first 2 get a bye, and then the 4 teams play.
Yeah.
three plays, what, six and right. four and five.
Right. And they're and the standings are so, other than Tech up top, is all pretty close. And so this next really 10 days to 12 days for you are key, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're huge. We still somewhat control our own destiny in the sense of we didn't handle our business against Indiana Tech, but we can still get that two seed. And you can't sleep on anybody, but right now, as it lies, we're competing with Aquinas for that two seed.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You can't sleep on any of the teams. Madonna is a sneaky team. Concordia went to the national tournament last year.
Wow.
You know, U of M Dearborn's always been close, so.
So Wednesday, you know, for our listeners, at 7:00, and, you know, I'm telling you, our listeners haven't seen lacrosse, you're going to love it. And I know we play again in 10 days after that at home against University of Michigan Dearborn. Is that a Saturday or Sunday?
Oh, that's a Saturday, Coach.
Yeah, at noon. And I'm just saying, it's an awesome spectacle. I love lacrosse. And talk about some of your players.
Yeah, it's really cool that some of these guys who have just been sitting here chomping at the bit are finally getting to prove themselves. I personally think, call me biased or whatnot, but I think the stats and the film don't lie. I think Jake Gallagher, my senior midfielder, is the best player in the entire country in the NAIA. He plays defense. He plays offense. He's a leader on and off the field. He has above a 3.0 GPA. He truly does it all, and he's fine. As a freshman, he was a second-team All-American, and then the next 2 years got stolen from him. So, you know, he's finally getting to show that again, if you will. So he's great. Our big man in net, Vinny Jean, he's been playing great. He had 20 saves against Lawrence Tech, I believe. He had 20
right.
saves.
Wow.
And, I mean, lacrosse goalie, that's pretty that's incredible, especially considering he only gave up six. So that was a great game. Our defender is number 21. He doesn't get mentioned very often, but number 21, his name is Chance Snyder. He came in from a small program in the Toledo area that didn't really have a lot of lacrosse, and he came in and he was like a baby deer. He ran like a fawn, you know. He didn't really know a lot about lacrosse, but the kid has just worked his butt off, and he looks to be one of the best poles in the country as well. And he's smart, close to a 4.0. He's a good kid. You know, we got a lot of good kids on this team, and they're, you know, it's good for me. It's good for the community to get these kids out competing again and just feeling happy again and having the smile on their face and doing things they didn't know they could accomplish.
Well, and you are right, as we talked about it on the other shows, that your program and, you know, both lacrosse programs, but yours specifically, kind of got the short end some with the nature of the NAIA and people canceling, then of the whole COVID stuff. And you were ready to get out there and interviewing your kids. They were ready too, and boy, they've been involved in a lot of close games.
Yeah, that's lacrosse now. I mean, everybody is good. You know, it's not the old days where you only got a couple good teams and
right.
you know every other game is kind of drain the bench. I mean, every single team is talented. Everybody's grown up watching lacrosse and playing lacrosse now. You know, it's not football players playing lacrosse or soccer players playing lacrosse or baseball players playing lacrosse. It's lacrosse players. So, you know, everybody's talented. Everybody knows what you got to do. What takes you to that next, you know, what takes you to that next point? And to me, it's that work ethic, that brotherhood, that family aspect, and that servant leadership that really takes a team from good to great. And that's what we're looking to do.
You know, I don't know how, you know, we've talked about this before too, but the WAC has kind of turned out, and I hate being a Big Ten guy, I hate saying this, but the WAC's become like the ACC, you know, in basketball. You know, I shouldn't say that. We don't be a Big Ten guy, but really, the WAC is. It's just, how did it evolve so quickly? Was it high school and club lacrosse in Michigan, or how did this happen that so many of the teams are so good?
Yeah, I think Michigan, in terms of high school lacrosse, is kind of slept on. Now, it's not Syracuse, New York, and it's not, right, you know, Baltimore, Maryland, or any of that stuff. But in terms of a state not on the East Coast, I think Michigan lacrosse gets slept on a little too much. There's a lot of talent, especially not kids who grew up as a baby with lacrosse sticks in their hands, but there's a lot of athletes out here who started playing lacrosse maybe 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Right. And they're really, you know, they're really turning into spectacular players. And, I mean, there's high schools that are starting to send kids out to the East Coast and get some minutes. So I do think it's the high school lacrosse scene. There are a couple really high-caliber club lacrosse teams that go and travel all around the country and play. So, you know, it's definitely high school and club lacrosse. But I think Michigan lacrosse as a whole is just very, very high-caliber. Getting there.
Right, right. And let me ask you another question. I see in looking at the NAIA website that the women's lacrosse are having a full-fledged national tournament while the men are still at invitational status. Why is that?
The only reason that could be, the only reason that could be is they have enough teams to qualify as a full-on national tournament, whereas we're still, in terms of men lacrosse, we're still a few teams short of making it a full-on national, not invitational tournament.
Oh, okay, and because I know, you know, the WAC, you talked about the AAC is the Appalachian Athletic Conference, correct? And
yes.
And then there's some schools out in the middle West.
KCAC.
Right, the Kansas Collegiate Athletic Conference. So
yep.
Really the growth, like Indiana, I see where Taylor is playing in our conference as a,
yep,
a affiliate member in lacrosse. There really has been the growth then in Indiana and some of the other sports. So I hope that happens. So how big is the national tournament in terms of number of teams?
So we send eight teams,
okay,
to the national tournament, yeah.
All right, so that's going to be, yeah, really, really competitive. And how many are participating in the conference? 9 or 10?
We have 10 in the WAC.
All right, do you get one or two bids, just one?
We'll get, I would imagine we'll get two this year.
Right.
Typically we get 2 to 3, and I think there's been a year or two where we've gotten 4.
Right, I do remember that. Well, you know, I hope we're, you know, not only talking about your team, but educating everybody about the process, as I'll turn it back over. I know we're about commercial time, but I'll turn it back over to John for a minute.
Coach, I just, you know, one thing I got to get clear in my head. So I know you can clear this up, because you've got juniors now that have only played 7 matches. Can you explain to me what happened in the interim? I know it must be COVID, but what happened at all that time when your guys were not playing matches, and how did they deal with that, and how did it affect the team?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can't speak from experience because I've only coached through COVID. But I got to imagine it was some of the toughest years that a coach could go through, because when these guys have light at the end of the tunnel, it's a little bit easier to get them to run through that brick wall. But when there's no light at the end of the tunnel and they don't know what's going on or what's going to happen, and people are telling them they can't do this, can't do that, to keep that motivation up and to keep that, you know, the, come on, fellas, stay together, stay with me here, it's difficult. It definitely was difficult, but we have this thing. We always say stay inside the circle, and what it means is you can only focus on what you can control, and those external forces weren't anything that we could control. So if you start worrying about the things outside the circle, you're gonna be miserable. You're not gonna improve. You're gonna be worried about things you can't control or can't deal with. So that was really our message through the 2 years, was stay inside your circle. And if you can do that and continue to improve, when the opportunity finally presents itself, we're going to get to go out there and we're going to get to showcase what we've been working for. So it definitely wasn't easy, and there's no way that what we did was perfect, or what I did was perfect, or what the guys did was perfect. But the fact that we're sitting where we are today and we really have a good chance at doing what we're doing, I think all credit goes to those guys for really staying in it. All I did was try and guide them.
Well, see, that's just it. You know, one of the huge things in lacrosse is team chemistry. How did they keep the chemistry together over that long stretch of time that allowed them to emerge here this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were all going through it together. I don't know if there's really much more to it. There's, you know, when you go through something with someone, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it be a really difficult test in a class, or whether it be, you know, something happening in a family, or whether it be a breakup or whatever it may be, when you go through something with someone, there's some sort of, emotional reaction to that. And I think that these guys going through the toughest situation of their young lives together, I think really brought them closer together. And now that they finally get to step out on the field and through all the stuff they've gone through and you know, I think that that really brought them closer together. Maybe it's cliche, you know, but the things that they went through, I think, have gotten them where they are today, and I think drive them when they go out on the field and it's a tie game in the fourth quarter.
Well, we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to be back. Who are we going to be back with? I hear we've had the guy on deck was not – we have a different guy on deck.
Yeah, we're pinch hitting here. We're going to go with – his name's Logan Hudnut. He's a midfielder for us, a junior midfielder for us. So he's sitting here waiting right now.
Is he like a tough nut?
Yeah, you can call him that.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to find out more. You guys hang with us, and we'll be right back after this commercial break. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student-athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about. Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student-athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.sienaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Is space becoming a problem for you? Do you have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well-lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple-sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
All right, welcome back inside the cave here. We've got Saint Sports Weekly going on right now here on the cave. And back with us is Coach Spencer Masick and
John. I just wanted to step in as you're doing your big introduction here. That one of the things we really didn't make clear in 19 and 20. Go back to why we played four games one year, three one year before. If you remember when the pandemic hit in March. I think lacrosse had just came back up from their trip or played four games, then the rest of the season was canceled. Like, you know, the Masters, NCAA tournament, everything was canceled. The next year, the WAC tried to put all their spring, fall sports into the spring. And I think, and I don't want to put Spencer on the spot, we were on our way, but then our team got hit hard by the COVID. And it was kind of like the Michigan hockey team a few years ago when they're at they had to shut down. So that's why the last year we only got four matches in or so. So I just wanted to, I think you were asking, like, how did it happen? Right. And then coaches answered how he kept his guys together. So now I'm looking forward to the rest of the night. So go ahead, John.
Okay, so, Coach, do we have your player in here? Can you tell us a little bit about him before we get to talk to him?
Yeah, he's in here. His name's Logan Hudnut. He's from Howell, Michigan. He's a junior midfielder on our team. You know, everybody on this team has their role, but Logan, you know, has really kind of carved out a role for himself this year. He's coming back from a couple injuries here and there, but one, he had a knee injury, and he's finally getting to step on the field again, and, you know, he hasn't missed a beat. He's a good offensive shooter. He works his butt off on defense, and you know, he's really forming into a leader. He's great in the classroom, and he's just a great role model for you know, our program.
Well, is Logan there right now, Coach? I want to ask,
yeah.
Logan, this is Coach Smith. I was around Siena for 44 years. I was still around there, but not bugging everybody in athletics anymore. But my first question is, you're from the Howlin' Growlin' Bear. I had a guy from Howell when I coached. And how did you hear about Siena, Logan?
Hi, so I heard about Siena because there was a couple of different kids from Howell that had ended up going there. And I think it was my junior year or sophomore year, I was spending some time at recruitment camps, and I stumbled across Coach Masick. And just from there, we got to just talk a little bit, and just about all the other tournaments I went to, I ended up talking to him, so I just ended up coming.
Great. Now, and I read your bio a little bit, but Coach might have undersold your academics here a little bit. You tell our audience what you're majoring in and what you're studying to at Siena.
So I'm currently studying biology, pursuing a major in biology and a minor in chemistry.
That is outstanding, and I know those teachers, and I know how tough that those areas are. Do you know what you want to do with that? What is, your third year in school? What are your, do you have any future plans of how you might use your degree?
Well, when I first got here as a freshman, I'd really fallen in love with the idea of going on to some sort of medical profession. But as I got older, I guess in the last 2 or 3 years, I decided to pursue a bit more of a plant biology sort of a path. So I think after I get out of my undergrad, I'm going to look to go to either Michigan State or Purdue or something along those lines so I can get a grad school in microbiology or something like that, so I can work a bit more towards something like that.
So talk about your journey in lacrosse. Obviously some injuries and whatnot, but how was the adjustment from high school and club lacrosse to collegiate lacrosse?
Truthfully, the transition from high school and club lacrosse into college was a big step for me. I think there was a big hump that I had to overcome there, and I think it was mostly just the pace of the game for the most part. That transition, a lot of people aren't ready for it, and I think high school ball is a lot slower, and nobody's really, there's no way for you to actually prepare to go into college, and just the difference it feels when you're on the field. It's a much faster game as soon as you get here, and it really hits you in the face as soon as you get here, too.
Yeah, and, and having coached for 30-odd years and other sports, my main sport was basketball, and you're right, you can't actually describe that. They have to experience it, and the only way to experience it is in practice and certainly in your matches. So coach is really – talk glowingly about how the group has come together, especially given, the tough times you've gone through. Talk about your role in that process.
My specific role? I'm not sure that I really have a specific role. I think just about all the guys played a very similar role. I don't know if there was necessarily a leader in the role of that. We've all faced adversity, especially over the last 2 years, some more than others. But I think what held us all together, the glue, was just the closeness we all have. I've really never seen such a close group of guys before in my entire life, and it really is just unfathomable until you get here and you can actually see it.
Well, that's been the trademark, to be truthful. In my experiences as athletic director, I was always amazed on the family atmosphere and how the kids, Logan, the young men. They had a spirit for sure, but they've always had that culture. And, with the tragic passing of the great man, Coach Maloney, we're right. So lucky to have Coach here to take his place. But I've only been to a couple games, and one of the matches that I was at was over at Adrian for a while. I couldn't handle the weather. But the intensity of those benches that day was amazing to me. Between you two, you guys, I would have thought you guys were playing for, the losers weren't going to eat for a week. You guys were really getting into it, both teams. And I that's what I love about lacrosse. And that's been the Siena Heights trademark. So on the field, what is it that is your specialty?
For the most part, they like to see me as a step down long range shooter. I think that's kind of the role that I'm forming for myself, and B, that I'm falling into, especially this year.
Your team, and you've probably, I think you've been present during the interview. You guys, a lot of times in coaching, you try to bring your team along. You can maybe have a few games where you don't want to say you're going to win, but you can play a lot of players and do that. You have had none of that. I mean, every game, especially early on, was a tough game. Now, was Coach relished that when he was on our last program. He liked that because he wanted to put you guys' feet to the fire. How has your team reacted? Obviously, you've reacted well to the early tough defeats, and you'd had one four in a row the last Saturday. So how did you guys handle that process?
Well, truthfully, I think that it's something that we just kind of grew into. It's a chip on our shoulder. We haven't really had a chance to play in the last 2 years as much as we'd like to. And coming into the season, we didn't know. I mean, with COVID dying off is more so than the last couple of years, we didn't really know what we were going into. And I think everybody from the beginning was just thinking this: we're going to play every single game like it's our last. And I think we're doing a very good job of just that.
Personally, who, you know, I mean, who is the your biggest rival? You know, I named a few of them back, but I mean, which team do you got you look forward the most to play?
As of right now, I think everybody's looking forward to seeing Indiana Tech again.
Yeah, I was keeping track of that game on the live stats. You know, it was a heck of a game. You're right, and that's always been a spirited contest for sure. Well, listen. First of all, I just congratulate you, and I know the best is yet to come. These next 3-4 weeks are going to determine a lot for you, and I want to wish you luck. And I'll be sneaking in and out of the stadium watching you, and I'll turn you over to our host here, John Kane.
Well, you know, I don't have a lot. I can tell you, most of my experience with lacrosse, my college roommate played lacrosse. Of course, that was like 52 years ago. And it was a club sport, but he was a defenseman.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing he had the long stick, because he used to try and wake me up on Saturday and Sunday poking me with that long stick of his, and he needed a little extra room before I could get my hands on him. But, yeah, that was my experience there. But so I want to ask you, how long have you been playing lacrosse, and what drew you to this sport in the beginning?
So I started playing lacrosse back in fourth grade. It's been a long, long journey.
Wow.
But what drew me in was my dad, actually. I remember when I was, I think I can remember, like 8 years old, my dad bought me the soft, like foamy lacrosse stick, and I never really had any interest in it up until he started just kind of throwing it at me. So third grade came around, and I started playing with sticks a little bit and just enjoying it, and it just took off from there.
A lot of your teammates, this is Coach Ginn just interjecting, are from almost like a 30-mile radius of Howell, wouldn't you say?
Yep. Yes, sir.
I mean, so you've probably played against a lot of these guys before you even came to Siena or played with them, right?
Absolutely. It's funny because I know all the guys from Heartland, and that's not the majority of our team, but there's
yeah,
a
lot
five
of Heartland
guys just from there.
Have you noticed that, you know, obviously that high school lacrosse is really kind of exploding? I mean, one of the better teams in Lenawee County is Tecumseh, and it's really becoming a huge sport.
I think I really love it. I love how much the game's growing, and I love the parts that everybody's playing, and I like that I got in there so early just to say that I helped grow the game. But, yeah, I think it's incredible. A lot of smaller schools, a lot of smaller high schools, I mean, are starting to pop up with programs, whether it be a club sport or a D2 or a D1 program. And it's really cool just to watch this sport grow as much as it has and as much as it is looking like it's going to.
So, Logan, do they have two state championships in Michigan, a Division I and a Division II? Is that how it works?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. And Howell, that's a pretty big school. That had to be Division I, right?
Yes, sir. That was Division I.
All right. Thanks for filling me in.
Well, you know, I want to congratulate you on your success, both as a student and an athlete at Siena Heights. And we're wishing you to grab at least the number 2 seed.
Yeah.
That's a goal, right?
Yes, sir.
And you got 4 matches left.
Yes, sir.
Well, good luck in all of that, and, you know, congratulations on being a wonderful ambassador for Siena Heights University.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, and hopefully I'll get to talk to you guys again soon.
Yeah, go get Concordia first on Wednesday.
Is Coach Kennedy there with you?
We can grab him if you need him.
Well, he was going to be listed as the next one on deck here after we get done with our break.
He's ready to go whenever we want it.
Okay, well, you can haul him over while we take a break, and we'll be right back with Kevin Kennedy, the assistant lacrosse coach for Siena Heights University. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. A Catholic university located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting siennaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Is space becoming a problem for you? You have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student-athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
welcome back into Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. We want to welcome Kevin Kennedy to the show. Hi, Coach. You there?
I sure am. How's it going?
Yeah, well, it's been a great show so far, so you got a little something to live up to here.
Oh, I don't know if I can handle that kind of pressure.
Hey, Coach, tell us a little bit about your past.
Okay, sure. By the way, hi, Coach Smith. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of filling a couple roles here, but I wanted you to tell our audience about your past, and it's always good to see you.
Yeah. So I'm originally from South Lyon, and that's where I started playing lacrosse. And I graduated from South Lyon in 2012. So I came to Siena Heights as a student in the fall of 2012. I played here and went to school here for 4 years. Played under Coach Ed Maloney from the fall of 2012, graduated in the spring of 2016. I played lacrosse all 4 years for Siena Heights as a player while also studying biology as my degree. I graduated in 2016 with my degree in biology, and then I immediately went to Missouri Valley College, which is another NAI school down in Marshall, Missouri, and I was the defensive coordinator and GA for them down there. I was only there for a season, so I didn't finish my degree with them, but I came home back to Michigan. I started working, just working a bunch of jobs, and I always stayed in the realm of coaching, whether it was high school or even younger, running camps and clinics with just other lacrosse companies kind of all over southeastern Michigan and around the greater Detroit area. And then, like I said, coaching high school teams and middle school teams still in the spring. And then until the most recent year, when the pandemic hit, it kind of just happened out of chance that when the pandemic came about, I lost my job, was laid off like many other people, because not only was I coaching, but I was substitute teaching. So both of my careers dealt with, you know, the being around people face to face in close proximity. So both of those were put on hold, and I just needed somewhere to go that was cheap rent and find work. And you know, one of those places was coming back to Adrian, Michigan. I had been back since I left in 2016 and immediately left for Missouri, but I still had Spencer Masick and Tyler Hooper living in Adrian. So I contacted them and I was like, you know, I know you guys still live down there. Is there a room open, you know, and I could find a job, yada, yada, yada. It just so happened that a room had opened, and I went down there, and I was luckily able to start working online, like through Zoom meetings with substitute teaching. And just by working with them, being around them, they were still coaching. And so that was in the fall of 2020. And then that is when Coach Ed Maloney unfortunately went through what he did, and he eventually passed. So when he stepped down officially from his position in January, I was just in the right place at the wrong time, really. But I was with Coach Hooper and Coach Masick, and they looked at me and said, you know, you have a lot of experience coaching defense. Can you step up and help out? So I did for the spring of 2021. I kind of came in as an interim assistant coach, helping out Coach Masick as he was the interim head coach. And then it was after that year, we all kind of had a trial year. Coach Masick approached me and was like, would you want to become the graduate assistant here? So that's the full background. And I was here as a player. And many years later, I've returned, and I'm now getting my master's degree in organizational leadership, as well as the defensive coach here at Siena Heights University.
Well, Coach, you know, you were obviously part of the group that really built this program, but and that group was very, very special to us all at the university. But let me ask you this. After you got back from Missouri Valley, who are some of the high schools that you were affiliated with?
So after coming back from Missouri, I coached at Brighton High School.
I coached their JV and their varsity team. And then after Brighton, I coached at Walled Lake, but that was only for a few weeks because that was when the pandemic hit. So I was mostly at Brighton, but then I made a switch to Walled Lake, and really we only had one or two practices in before everything got shut down in 2020 from coronavirus.
So in your coming from obviously your playing days, working, and then coaching, and now you're back at it where it's obviously pretty intense and coaching in certainly the WAC. What is the biggest thing you've had to, you know, have you learned about coaching or and this age of kids from stepping across the line, so to speak, from player to coach? What are some of the adjustments you had?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There was a lot of things I learned right away from, because I was a player that graduated from school in May, and by that same August in 2016, I was a coach. So I was down at Missouri Valley coaching kids that were, some of them were very close to me in age, a handful of them were actually older than me. It was a very interesting situation that I had to learn a lot quickly, and then coming back to Michigan, it felt a little bit more natural coaching kids who were much younger than me because, you know, you kind of get a little bit more response and a little bit more respect just naturally saying, hey, I used to be a college player. They're like, oh, my gosh. And they're looking up to you. And I felt I learned a lot about myself. And honestly, I felt much more prepared coming back into the college game after taking years at the high school level and younger, because I was teaching little kids and like beginner camps and everything. I felt like I had learned a lot, and I definitely did, but coming back to the college game, there was a lot that I wasn't prepared for again, and because the main difference is coming back to coaching college, it's just so much more time and dedication, and I put so much many more hours into preparing practices and for games and watching film and scouting reports. And there's still a lot I need to learn because, honestly, I felt almost a little unprepared, and I'm learning every day of things I can do better in all those categories. So it was a huge learning process going from a player to a coach, and there's still a lot, and I mean a lot, that I have to learn. I'm still a very young coach, and every time I feel confident one day, the next day, it's the opposite, and I feel like I have so much more to learn. So it's a big learning process, and I'm only on the first step of a 1,000-step journey.
Well, I'll tell you, Coach, if you don't mind, and I know we don't have a lot of time here, but I got to digress for a minute. It's never – I want you to understand what coaching does. It does make fools out of us, and that's why I've always so reluctant as a to ever criticize coaches. Because I'll tell you, the last game I ever coached, all right, and I'm talking, we had a lot of success at Siena. We scored 1 point in the last 7 minutes of the game, right? And this is, you know, and I thought I knew a lot about offense, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the game will make for, and you just have to stay humble and keep after it. And obviously, since your first competition down in Indiana with Weber, defensively, you guys have seemed to have improved a lot. So talk about that.
Oh, yeah, thank you again. That's a really good question. We, as a team, that first game was kind of a struggle for us. And I feel like there's really a million different things you could say. I don't want to be one that's sitting up here making excuses, but it was very tough for a Michigan team where we don't have like a full field setting to practice.
Right.
We were doing the best we could indoors to go to meet in Indianapolis to meet a Florida team who was able to practice full-time outdoor. They had 70-degree weather in January, and they already had 3 or 4 games under their belt at the time. We knew we were walking into a challenge, but focusing more on us, this team has come a very long way in many aspects, defensively, offensively, but it goes beyond that. Just mentally, spiritually, and as young men, I've never seen a group really come together quicker and learn from their mistakes and become better athletes and truly, and more importantly, better teammates. because also what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a group that had essentially two seasons taken away from them. Unfortunately, with everything that happened with the pandemic and everything else, these guys have not had a lot of game experience, and we've almost really had to learn how to play championship-level lacrosse in a crash course setting. We're trying to teach something they should have learned over years, and we tried doing it over the span of weeks and months, and these guys have responded really well to that. So they're learning constantly, day in and day out. They're asking questions. They're coaching each other. And they've made massive improvements from that first game against Weber until now in all phases of the game. And I couldn't be more proud of them. It's astounding to watch a group of young men do what they're doing right now.
Well, I just want to end, because I'm going to turn you back to John here in a second. I'm so glad to see you and obviously Spencer, just to see that you guys bring in that tradition that was started here back by Coach Maloney when he developed our program. It, you know, it's been to the national tournament, and I know you guys are on your way back there soon. So good luck. And like I said, I watch every game, if you know, at least sneak in, or definitely watch you on the road on the LifeStat thing. So I'll turn you back to John.
I've just got a couple of quick questions. First of all, when you were playing at Siena, what was your position?
I kind of played all the positions on the defensive side of the ball except goalie. I took faceoffs, I played LSM, I played defensive midfielder, and then I also played down defenseman with a long pole.
Well, then maybe that helps me answer my second question, because, you know, lacrosse is like any other game. People want to put it in the net. You know, that's what they're all hepped out about. And you went from being a member of the team to, like, almost the next day you were a defensive coordinator at another place. How does that kind of happen, and how is it that you were able to concentrate on the defensive side of the game?
Transitioning from player to coach, I mean, I had a lot of experience defensively. It was tough because I was playing at a NAI school here at Siena Heights University, and all my friends and my coaches were still on this team. And immediately I went to Missouri Valley, who not only was another NAI school, but one of our big rivals. So that was more of a tougher transition. Transitioning from player to coach, I already kind of touched on it before, the struggles I had. But in terms of X's and O's, I really didn't find it that difficult, because since I played LSM, D-Midi, down defenseman, I really knew every phase of the defense in every position, so I had a huge advantage of coaching, because I could coach every single position as a coach, X's and O's wise. But my main challenge was realizing that being a good coach wasn't just knowing the X's and O's, but 95% of my job was being someone who was emotional and mental support for young college athletes going through what they go through.
Well, I want to congratulate all you guys that have been on tonight. Thanks so much for telling us all about the lacrosse program. We want to wish you the best in the future.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. I appreciate all the questions. And just the last thing I really like to say, because Coach Smith brought it up at the end, that he was so happy that guys like me and Spencer Masick were trying to kind of bring back some of the things that Coach Ed Maloney started. And I just want to take a second to talk about Coach Ed Maloney, and I'm sure it's no words needed to say how special of a guy he was in all of our lives, but this is one thing we couldn't be doing without Coach Maloney. And he brought us together, and the things that he taught guys like me and Coach Masick and the other coaches on our staff, Coach Kreitzer and Coach Hooper, it was more about lacrosse to him. He cared about who you were off the lacrosse field and who you were as a person, and it's something we as a coaching staff are trying to do every single day, and we still have a lot more to learn and to eventually be as good as Coach Maloney was, but he gave us the stepping stones to do what he did, and I'm forever grateful for a man that he was.
He would be real proud of you guys, Coach, I'll tell you that. I know that. He would be elated, and I'm sure he's up there watching Saints lacrosse with a lot of pride.
Thanks, Coach Smith. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks, you guys. And once again, best of luck in the future coming up.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's going to wrap up our show.